Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Wheel Talk podcast. I am Abby Mickey, and I am joined by Lauren Rowney.
Good evening, everyone, actually. Now, it was a late finish today.
It was. It was a late finish. I mean, we did have a special guest on this episode, and she will be on in a minute. We're just doing a little intro, get a little busy stuff out. Oh, man. You know what I just realized? We forgot to ask Ellen what she's obsessed with lately.
Damn it. Baby stuff, clearly.
Big mistake. Yeah. But yeah, we had Ellen Van Dyke on the podcast today, and we did a live viewing of the finale of Gent Wevelgem on the Discord, the Escape Collective Discord. We had a blast. So that's what you're about to listen to. But Lauren and I are here to intro the podcast.
It was really, really fun. Like, I guess everyone who had the privilege of chatting with Ellen in the chat box on Discord, that was really cool. So all the listeners, like, if they had any questions, you could directly speak to her. And, you know, to have Ellen Van Dyke on this podcast, it's been 10 years since I was teammates with her, but it was almost like this weird fangirl moment because she's just achieved so much in her career. Yeah. And she's still going and, you know, and just announcing her pregnancy. It's like just been a beautiful thing to watch her journey in the sport and how, like, you know, when she entered the sport, she really started out quite young. I think 18, 19, she turned pro, and she was already one of the big names in the peloton in HTC High Road back then. And then she kind of went into this more domestique role after winning that world title the first time in 2013. And now it's like she's had this second wind in her career and, you know, two back-to-back world titles, and now she's becoming a mom. It sounds like she has big plans for when she comes back to the sport. So,
yeah, she got her eyes on Paris 2024.
Yeah. So,
and we talked a little bit about her post-baby career and her fears and her excitements. And she had some hot takes on the podcast, socks over or under. She picked a side. And it was incredible to have her on. I feel like I didn't believe that it was going to happen until her face was literally on my computer screen. But she's phenomenal. She was really, really fun to have on the podcast. And it was also super fun to do a live with listeners, because obviously we want your guys' questions for when we open every podcast with listener questions, but to see them in real time was pretty cool. hopefully we'll be able to do more live viewings in the future with that, and hopefully pull in a couple more pros. Although I do hope we get Ellen back. I feel like I had so many questions bouncing around in my head, and then as soon as she was there, I was drawn a blank. I was so nervous.
I feel like Ellen will come back because you know, she's a newbie to podcasting, and she's going to start her own podcast in Dutch, which is really cool, with former pro Roxanne Kenedeman. And so she's going to need some tips, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, she needs our expertise. Yeah.
We're going to be the experts this time. Both.
Yeah, exactly. we also can give her mothering tips.
Yes.
So we got two things up on her. We both have babies already, and we've been podcasting since 2017.
Maybe we can start a WhatsApp group and become like best friends.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We don't have listener questions today because they were obviously during the live. So we're going to dive into watching Gent Wevelgem with Ellen, and we will be back next week to talk about Flanders.
Ba-dum-bum.
With the crew. Very excited. With the crew. We'll be back with Gracie, and we have Matt Deneef on next week, which is going to be really, really fun. Flanders is going to be awesome. Check out Escape Collective for the preview. And yeah, Lauren, thanks for being my partner today.
It's like the old days. Rewind like 5 years. I think crazy. 5 years? 6 years.
Whew. We're getting old. Let's talk about what's happening in this bike race. So we've got like 27K to go. We've got a solo rider off the front. Lauren, you called this.
I did. I looked at the weather forecast. I wanted to be prepared. And I mean, yeah, we've spoken about racing in Belgium and how weather conditions and bad luck and things like that can play into the solo move actually going and sticking. But it's looking like, I mean, I didn't pick a solo winner, actually. That was Tilda that did. But I said I thought today could be actually perfect for it. And yeah, Marlon Rusa, silver medalist at the Worlds and bronze medalist at the Worlds, is now off the front with 2 minutes and 11 seconds. And it looks like the group behind, you know, Canyon-SRAM have four riders, I think Jumbo-Visma. It's going to be a question of whether people get organized. And for me, I can see her staying out there, to be honest. I'm curious how Ellen sees this panning out.
Yeah, it's funny that you already said this beforehand, before the race, because I also thought today could really be a day for a solo rider again. We saw it in the last two World Tour races, in the Panne and in Trofeo Binda, that the solo rider won. But always a solo rider needs to have a strong team behind her. And yeah, I thought today needs to be a rider who is really tough, who can, yeah, do a good time trial. And I definitely thought about Marleen Reuser. Especially because, yeah, her team, if she would have Lotte Kopecky, Lorena Wiebes behind her, then all the other teams seem to be, yeah, kind of, yeah, I don't know. But sometimes I wonder, because I feel like, why does not everybody straight away go and just go and fight and try to get somebody back? But it's also easy to say from behind the TV. But at the same time, I sometimes miss a little bit the fighting spirit. I know that if they will try everything to bring Marleen Reuser back, that then for sure there are these other two sprinters, but at least try.
Yeah. Because it's not to say if it doesn't come back that even if you don't have a sprinter that you think could potentially win, you've still got to then try and send riders up the road. I mean, Canyon-SRAM have four riders there, Jumbo-Visma. I wouldn't say that if it came back together, you know, they're going to necessarily have the rider to take the bunch win. But why do you think that is, that that's stalling in the mentality?
Yeah, it's something that I realize quite a lot in the women's peloton in quite a lot of the races. And sometimes maybe they just can't. I can't always see that. But sometimes I think, I don't know, it's just some kind of way of racing that I don't like, that I feel like, come on, just at least try and die, and then you will find out if it's not working or not. But yeah, I see FDJ is riding the big group behind a little bit now, but it's, yeah, it's not full gas chasing. And also other teams are not working together with them. Well, I think that's their only chance, because if I see the situation now, it seems like it's done. I mean, Reuser is an excellent time trialist, so 2 minutes, yeah, and 25K, I don't see that anybody will bring this back, actually.
Do you think, like, in these moments, this is where you need someone who, like, I don't know, the not the queen of the peloton, but I remember Ina being the person when she was racing who would rally people and be like, come on, you need to put one or two riders from your team in, and we're going for it now.
Yeah, I think that's something you say there, which is yeah, which is very true. There needs to be a rider that a lot of other teams and riders look up to, and that think like, oh yeah, if she says it, yeah, we better do that, yeah, because otherwise, yeah, maybe we're done. And it's actually, yeah, it sounds quite stupid that you need somebody like that, maybe, but, because in the end, it's also the team directors in the car, eh, that needs to make the decision that the riders need to chase and need to ride. But also the team directors in the car, they do not always have the overview, and they're always 30 seconds behind, at least with the TV. So yeah, before they can say something, then yeah, it's the moment has already happened sometimes. But yeah, I mean, the captains on the road in the teams, they are super important for the decisions. And yeah, if they are not super yeah, chasing, like, if they don't like to chase straight away, then for sure it's gonna be a bit of a lame race.
What are the qualities that make a captain on the road? Because we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, the difference between a captain on the road and a leader on the road, someone who's going to win. And it's not always the same person.
No, normally it's never the same person because a captain needs to have the overview and needs to make decisions. While a leader really needs to focus on performing and not having to spend energy on making decisions or other stuff. So you should really have somebody that you completely trust as a captain. And yeah, it really has to be somebody who has a good overview in the race and is not scared to make decisions. So who can just straight away say, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do that. I think some riders, for example, myself, if I'm suffering, I think only half of my brain is working, or maybe less. And some riders, they always have the overview. So yeah, I don't think I would be a great captain because I just do not always see everything. But other riders, for example, like Lucinda Brandt in our team, she's a great captain because she always sees what's happening, and she can also look into the future a little bit, or expect what's gonna happen.
Often a conflict between the DS and the captain in those crucial moments.
It can be, but usually it's afterwards, maybe, because also the team director should trust the captain 100%, because the captain needs to make the moments in or the decisions in the moment. And like I said before, the DS does not always have the complete overview. It's not there in the moment that the decision needs to be taken. So yeah, actually they like it when the captains take the decisions because yeah, that's way more accurate than whatever they can see.
Yeah. So I mean we have 23 kilometers to go and Russo is holding this gap at 2:11. I mean, is it done and dusted, could we say?
For me, yes. Yeah, the gap is for sure not decreasing. It's at least staying the same. For sure, now there will be a part with a lot of crosswind, strong winds, I think. But yeah, we know Reuser. She's super strong. And yeah, I don't see a super organized chase behind. So yeah, for me, it's done.
For people who don't race their bike in these conditions, why is it that you guys both called a solo winner or a small break to win with the weather today?
Yeah, so this weather takes a lot of energy out of you, and therefore it's also sometimes easy to say, why are they not riding? Why are they not doing anything? But sometimes they are just, yeah, too tired and they can't really do anything anymore. But at the same time, yeah, if you're still riding in this group, then you at least can do something. That's my opinion. But it really is hard to imagine how much energy it takes out of you. Your hands are frozen. It's hard to shift. It's hard to drink. It's hard to eat. You're wet from the start of the race already. So yeah, you're suffering physically and mentally. Yeah, and some are suffering more from that than others, physically and mentally also. Oh, crash, I see. Crash in the corner where Marlen Reuser also had a interesting corner. Yeah, so it's something that just takes really a lot of energy out of you.
And I think that's also been a factor today, and which I considered in these particular races, like if it is wet and it is windy, we saw it in the men's racing as well. There have been a lot of crashes today. And that impacts riders because quite a few of these riders who were seen in the front group have made their way back again and have potentially crashed twice today. So I think it does take a mental toll by this point of the race. You've already been out there for hours and those stack me decisions that you would maybe make early in the race in different conditions aren't coming. You can just sort of see it in the demeanor of the riders too. Some are trying, but there's just no cohesion.
Yeah, but then if I look at this group and I see, for example, four of Jumbo-Visma, I don't see them riding at all. And this is something I just cannot get to with my head. Like, why are you racing if you're all there and you're not chasing? Like, yeah, these kind of things, I really would like to know what team directors are saying to their riders or what the riders are thinking. That's, to me, it's really interesting.
But clearly it would be different if Voss was there, because if Voss was there, I mean, even if she didn't have the legs to win, I think that she would not allow her teammates to sit back.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, but then in one way, I think it's a little sad that you need somebody like that to actually really race. But I think it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's multiple teams in there that there's, I mean, there's how many four Canyon SRAM riders that I guess
Also.
if there is that whole aspect of Wiebes being in there and not wanting to really pull her to the finish line, but yeah, we've seen a bit of negative racing this year, and I think it's, normal. We see it all the time, but three races in a row. I mean, I personally didn't really think that you could say. We were talking a little bit in the Discord and with people with the escape. We had some chats going on about the negative racing at Dapana, and I didn't think that was quite this bad.
No, I think
Yeah,
Dapana
this is an.
was a good race. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good
Yeah,
race.
it was really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool to see, and also Trofeo Binda was also a really cool race to see in that way, and I think it was also needed because otherwise, yeah, you get disappointed in the racing a little bit.
How cool was it for you to see Sheeran win Binda, having been her teammate for a couple of years and like watched her grow as a rider, and she took her first world tour win, and maybe you weren't there to experience it in person, but you did get to watch it on
Yeah, it
TV.
was super exciting. Also, because I know how big of a talent she is. She works really hard for it. She's super motivated, and she's a real winner. But the way she did it, she actually it was an action for the team, and the team was riding so well in Trofeo Binda. They were aggressive. They were making the race. They were making the difference. And yeah, Shirin just was so strong that day, and she really deserved that win also. So. It was super exciting to see her holding that gap and also to see her just being stubborn, like, because I think she had like 6 or 7 seconds for a while and she just kept on going. She put her head down and she just went for it. And yeah, that's the way to win races. And to see her riding like that was super cool. And also for her to have the security with Balsamo behind her, of course, that gives some rest. And yeah, for her, it didn't matter if she would have been caught, because then we still had Balsamo as as the leader of that race, actually. So it was the perfect scenario.
How was being in the car for Dapana? Was that an interesting way to watch the race for you?
Yeah, so the first time I joined the car, or I joined Ina in the car, was in Valencia. I did one stage there. This was my second time. In the meantime, we see some echelon action in the chase group, I see. So that will be interesting, but it seems like there's no real cooperation. So yeah, it will be hard to really make good echelons, I think. But it will be interesting to see. But yeah, being in the car for me was a special experience. I was super scared, to be honest. They're driving like crazy in this caravan. But it was nice to know how it is for team directors to ride behind the race and to see what they actually get from the race. Yeah, it's also good. I think it would be good for every rider to experience it once.
Is this something we might see in the future, Ellen? You behind the
Yeah.
race car?
So yeah, I was thinking about that, and I thought, not really my thing. I think, you know, being in a car for so long, oh man, I was exhausted. I really preferred to ride my bike then. And yeah, also, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of organization, I think, you have to do as a DS. It's I don't think it's not something I really would like to do. It's not like, oh wow, if I could ever do that, no. I would like to work in cycling, I think, but a team director is not my first choice.
Yeah, that was actually a point I brought up with Jolyn de Hoora, and she loves it. She loves being, behind the wheel. And I said to her, "What about the long days, though?" And
Yeah.
it doesn't seem to faze her, because I tried my hand at a little bit of DSing, and that was the one thing that got to me, was it was a lot of time behind the wheel of the car, and if you're way back in the caravan, you see nothing, and
Yeah.
maybe a rider occasionally comes back, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, it was also my experience. I was not like, oh, I wish I could do this every week. Also, I was driving in the morning from my own place, and in the evening I was driving back. So in the end, I had 12 hours in the car that day, so it was a bit challenging. But yeah, also I don't know, there was a lot of stress in the car for me at least, when there's a flat tire or when when the car has to come back into the position, and there are dropped riders, there are motors, there are cars everywhere. So yeah, I was actually a lot of times with the start list in front of my face to not see where we were going because I was too scared to watch it.
Looks like this group is splitting up, but I think it's far too late for them to come back. But yes, it does look like we'll see a sprint for second.
Yeah, exactly. They are definitely racing for second because you see also there's no cooperation in this echelon. And it's the group is getting smaller, that's for sure. But it's not an organized chase. It's just dropping other riders. The gap is still the same. The gap is not getting any smaller. This is not going anywhere. Then you see some attacks from solo riders, which doesn't make sense at all, especially not on this side of the road. Sorry to say, but it's just when you watch TV, sometimes you think, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Well, but when you're in the race, it's a lot harder to make these decisions when you're on the very limit. And I think a lot of these riders are on their very limit.
Are you watching this situation and wishing that you were there to make a difference?
Today, yes. I mean, I have to say, a race like this race, I always had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with, because I always expected a lot from it. I always thought, oh yeah, this is a race where you can really make a difference, and if you're strong, you can win it solo. But in the end, it always became a bunch of sprints in the last couple of years, so I was always disappointed after the finish. But then I thought, today, with these weather circumstances, it's really a chance for a solo breakaway, I think, and it shows. But yeah, it's always easy to say when you're not there that you could have done something. But I think a race like this, these are my kind of races. So on days like this, I would think like, yeah, this here I would love to be. But at the same time, I see a lot of crashes happening and everything. And when I see that, I'm like, oh, I'm happy I'm not there.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's Marlin of the road, because I see her as your biggest rival in the peloton in terms of style of rider and obviously time trialing ability.
Yeah, we are pretty similar in our time trial ability. So that's, of course, why we also look at each other a little bit. And sometimes when she goes, I take her back. And sometimes when I go, she takes me back. So that's also a thing. And it's not that we don't like each other, because I really like her, actually. And I have a lot of respect for her. But we are similar riders. So, yeah, you are a lot of times in this, you will find yourself in the same situation. So, whenever she does a great attack, I would always feel like, oh, shit, I could have done that. Yeah, that's something for sure. Yeah.
It's funny, Gracie Elvin used to always say that about Chantal Block, and there was like a period where they were always in similar moves together because similar riders and the way that they like to try and win a race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of riders have somebody in the peloton that they kind of relate to. And I mean, some riders, they have the same, same characteristics. So then you will find each other quite often together.
Oh, that'd be interesting to watch for. To watch for whoever's riding around someone else all the time.
Yeah, true. It's interesting that now there's a small group off the front that they are still for sure racing for second. It's not like they are gonna close this to 2 minutes, but at least they're doing something back there, which is nice to see. Also Canyon, to be honest, Canyon SRAM, often they are somewhere in the front, but they never really, in the last couple of years, they almost never won a race. But I think this year they have some new team directors, and I think it, or I hope it will help them to race more aggressive and try more. Because, yeah, I think that's a team which really has the potential also to win races. Somehow the last couple of years, they almost didn't win anything.
Yeah, we've talked a bit about that in the last couple episodes, just that with the lineup that they have had in the past couple of years, it's a bit disappointing that they aren't more active in races, because they have so much behind them that you'd think that they would be one of the stronger teams in the peloton. And it's the way it's shaken out is just kind of that there's ST Works and there's Trek Segafredo, and it's rare that another team comes close. And last year, obviously, FDJ Suez did a really, really good job of challenging the top two teams. But you always expect Canyon SRAM to be up there as well with the riders that they have, and they never really are. And it's kind of a bummer. And
yeah,
we have wondered how they can, what they can change that would help them to win races, to be on the top step more, and to be kind of at the pointy end of the race more.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question you asked there. And yeah, like I say, I think they have potential. I think it's part of points, or I don't really know what's going on this for Farage. I do think that there is a lot more into the team than is actually coming out. Yeah, and at the same time this year, I saw Jumbo-Visma racing pretty negative so far. Maybe, like you said, because Marianne is not there yet. But many times they are with a couple of riders in the second group, and they just sit in. They don't do anything. And this is something that I don't understand, and that I also wonder what the car is saying behind, or what their plan is with that. I mean, maybe they are busy with talent development. But yeah, even then, in my opinion, you should always learn them that they need to race for the win. So yeah, it will be interesting also to know what their thoughts behind that are.
Is it just a case of, for a lot of these teams, the DS saying it's not your responsibility? It's not your responsibility.
Yeah, that's what I would think, because I don't know why else they would just sit in. But yeah, it seems like all the teams think it's not their responsibility. And that's, yeah, of course, team SD Works is super strong. They have a lot of super strong riders together. Trek Segafredo is very strong. And then FDJ, like you said, is also possibly a very strong team, but maybe not so much for the classics. DSM is actually riding super, super well this year, I have to say, with the young riders they have. I think that's super cool to see. They are really racing well. From other teams, I would really expect more.
Say that one team that I'm happy to see up in the mix now is Uno X. Like, we didn't really see them up there much. And then this year, it seems, you know, they've got some new riders and they're there. They're in the mix. They've got someone in the second group.
Yeah, I saw...
Also, Eleanor Barker is in here, and she just had a baby last year, and that's awesome. Ooh, and also, yeah. Pfeiffer is in here, and she crashed how many times today? Three times today? She's been on the ground so many times today. This is, like, really impressive for both of them.
Yeah, exactly. She's in a great shape. And Eleanor Barker is... Oh, crash. Oops. SD Works. It's a lot of Kopecky crashing there, I think. And also Lorena Wiebes and another one. So now the chase should be full on anyway. But it's too late anyways. It's never good to see people crashing, but it seems to be all right. Yeah, just in the, I think, in the ditch. Lorena. Oof.
It looked heavy though, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, but also really cool to see Eleanor Barker up there. And also I saw Amelia Diederikse in the Panne riding super well again, which was great to see, because last year she actually did not reach her potential. Oh, I see also Balsamo crashed. Shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of the favorites actually crashed there. Somebody like Diederikson seems to be back, getting back to her level, which is really nice to see. And yeah, somebody like Eleanor Barker is super exciting. I think for somebody like me, it's nice to see when mamas are getting back to their level, or getting even better sometimes.
Is that something that you were nervous about, or because you've seen like Lizzie coming back twice and other mums doing it, that you're not too worried about how long it will take or your condition?
For sure. It's something completely new for me, so I really don't know what to expect from it. But I do expect that getting back to my level is not going to be the real problem. But for sure, the big life change of getting organized in a different way and going away from home these kind of things, I think, are more of the challenges than getting back to the physical level. I even do believe that you get stronger after pregnancy. Yeah, I feel a lot of changes in my body already. So, yeah, I do believe that. And also, I feel like I would have the ability to train good enough to get back to that level. But yeah, for sure, all the other stuff around it, that will be something completely new.
Well, if you want any tips or baby talk, just make sure you listen to this podcast from here on.
Yeah.
We open each episode with a little bit of baby talk.
Yeah, funny. I like it. Of course, everything about babies is interesting for me now.
They're crazy. You think you've got everything under control, and then from day to day, it changes like really fast.
Yeah, I can imagine you have to be super flexible in your mindset and in your planning and in everything, because even now already I would plan my training and think, oh, I can do this and then I can do that and then I can do that, and then I realize, oh no, I'm way too tired for this. But yeah, that's only the beginning, I guess.
Yeah, yesterday I was making Lila dinner and she was being really quiet. And I was like, man, that's weird. Usually she bangs things. Like, she loves banging things on the floor, banging things on the walls. I was like, there's no banging happening. And I wandered over and she'd crawled into the bathroom, pulled all the toilet paper off the roll and was eating it.
No, really?
At least she wasn't in the toilet bowl.
No. Yeah, it was. She's not figured that out yet, but it was the first time she discovered toilet paper. She was very excited about it. It was everywhere. It was really fun. Luckily, she didn't actually ingest any. I got to her in time, but it was pretty. It was pretty funny.
Story. Yeah.
I have to say, before the race finishes, I was thinking about Marlon Russo when Tilda said Grace Brown. Because it's a similar style of winning, right? We've seen Grace win a race like this. And then I thought, why haven't we spoken about Russo much this year?
I think her teammates are so dominant that she just kind of gets overlooked a little bit. Like with Wiebes and Capecchi's been riding so well this year that I feel like between the two of them, you just kind of overlook the other riders on the team, even though every time SC Works lines up for a race, they could win with any of the riders that they have on the roster.
That's true, but also she didn't race so much yet. She just comes from altitude. She's been in Sierra Nevada for more than 3 weeks, also with Demi Vollering. So I think she raced Nieuwsblad and Hageland, and then I think she left already for altitude. So that's maybe why you also didn't see her so much.
That's another thing that's been shifting so much in the women's peloton, is going to altitude to train. I feel like that's something that's been happening more and more and more for more riders in the last couple years.
Yeah, also now I think there at this moment there are lots of riders on the Tide again on altitude camps. Yeah, and it's also a little bit you see people following examples. So for example, Annemiek is a lot on altitude, and obviously she is going well with that. And yeah, then other riders are copying that, hoping for the same results, I think.
I'm really curious after this race. Like, I mean, it's done and dusted. We just basically now need to pick who's going to get second, right?
Yeah.
What your thoughts are going to be on Flanders next week? Because that's obviously, it's a very special race in the calendar. And, you know, it's a race that you've won, I think, 10 years ago this year?
Yeah, 2014 was it.
14.
Yeah, so 9 years ago. Yeah, long time ago.
So,
at that time... At that time, I was also in a really strong team, Bols Dolmans, together with Lizzie Dijkman. And that's one of the key things you need to win this race, I think. And this will be the same for SD Works again this year, I feel like. I hope for that Trek Segafredo, of course, is going to race super well. Also with Elisa Longo-Borghini coming back after sickness. Yeah, to be honest, I have to say somehow SD Works really has something with this race, with Tour of Flanders. It's like Trek Segafredo has something with Roubaix. And somehow SD Works is always at the appointment there at the Tour of Flanders. So Yeah, and you know they have a really strong team. Kopecky is in great shape. Wiebes, now you see obviously Reuser, Vollering will come back. Yeah, it will also be interesting to see how Annemiek van Vleuten is after her altitude camp again. She wasn't super in super shape yet before she went there, but yeah, things can change a lot in 3 weeks. So we will find out. And yeah, Trek Segafredo with oh no, oh sorry, Reuser is going the wrong way. I don't know if you see it, but she's
maybe I spoke too soon. I'm sorry,
Ah, she has enough time though, okay. But this took another 30 seconds, I think. Oh yeah, she must also be suffering. Yeah, she will still win it. She has enough time.
Oh no, I'm late. My stream is delayed.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming, and I.
How is Ellen 30? Like I'm 30 seconds back as well.
Yeah, so I'm not watching.
She's closer to the race. Wait, no, Lauren, you're close to the race too.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the same country.
Maybe it's because I'm actually in the. I'm in Hilversum, where the NOS and everything is. I don't know if it makes just a difference, but I'm here because I need to record a podcast after this as well. I'm going to start a podcast.
Oh, well, we got
as well.
You first, so.
Yeah, for sure. No, because I'm going to start a podcast in Dutch, so we're not concurrents, so not alone. Together with.
Oh, shoot. I can't
Roxana
listen
Kneteman.
To it. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That'll be really cool.
Yeah, so we're going to try the first episode today.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, for any of our Dutch listeners, I don't think we have that many.
Well, it will be good for my Dutch, so.
yeah, you are.
I'll say mooi Nederlands praat, then.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah. We will try our best. Yeah.
Someone did ask when riders yell at each other in the peloton, what language do they usually yell at each other in?
Combination.
Yeah, combination. Too,
it is
too.
Really.
Yeah, also Italian, but to be honest, I have to say when I'm in racing, my whole brain is in English mode because you get English through the radio, you talk English to your teammates, and yeah, when something's happening, I straight away reacting, watch out, or stuff like that. But I think maybe when something's really dangerous, I will shout in Dutch sometimes, yeah. But I mean, from the tone of the voice, you understand what people are saying.
I find actually with my son, like there's some things that are just always in Dutch now. I don't know why. So
he's
getting confused, I think.
Yeah, so he will, he's raised in two languages, I guess.
Or three if you count the dialect from Bruges, because.
Yeah.
So he's a bilingual baby, but the words that he has at the moment, it's all Dutch. So,
oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
There's a lot of nay going on.
Nay.
Everything is nay.
Yeah, there's a face like that, I think.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see Megan Jastrab up in this group. I was teammates with her in 2019, and she is just such an incredible talent. Like, just so good. Lauren, I don't know if you raced the Redlands Classic when it had the Highlands Circuit that ended on the like really
That's
steep.
Really steep one.
Mm-hmm. She won that stage with junior gearing against, like, you know,
that's impressive.
Elite riders on not junior. Yeah, it was really, really impressive. She's such an impressive rider. And I just love to see her up here.
Yeah, also last Wednesday or Thursday, I have to say, she was racing super well. It was really cool to see because she's still quite young, right? She's still, and she's
20,
a big talent for sure.
21. Yeah, it's been really fun to see these younger riders. Like, I was so stoked for Pfeiffer Georgie because she has worked so hard on that team and was an integral part in all those wins last year for Larina. And for her to get that opportunity was just great. And we're going to see more from her. And also, it's just great to mix it up and see different winners instead of always going, is it going to be Balsamo or is it going to be Wiebes or Kopecky?
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, I like to see my teammates win. That's number one. But I always cheer for the attackers and for the ones who, especially somebody like Pfeiffer Georgie. She works so much for others. And yeah, I think it seems like she never complains about that. To be honest, I know some riders who are always talking about the fact that they are riding for others. And I think if you're talking about it, then most of the times it's not really true, because if it's true, you don't need to talk about it so much. But yeah, she actually is somebody who really does a lot for others. And then it's so cool to see that somebody like her actually gets her chance, takes her chance, and finishes off and wins a big race like that. Yeah, that's very well deserved.
The shift in DSM with Lorena moving over to SC Works has been really interesting, because obviously we've also seen Charlotte Kuhl win two stages of the UAE Tour, and she got a couple opportunities last year, but was mainly the lead out woman for Lorena. And so it's the DSM has impressed me this year, even though I was hesitant going into the year because of how many young riders they picked up. Usually that's kind of like a development. You look at a team like that and you think, okay, well, they're going through a transition year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's something that they are super good in developing young riders. And I think in one way it's been good that Lorena Wiebes is not in the team anymore, because now you see all these other riders stepping up and taking their chance. And yeah, and you actually see that they reach more of their potential than they did before, maybe. And that's yeah, super exciting to watch. And also yeah, big kudos to that team for making them race so well, actually.
Is it the same DS? Because it's, yeah.
I know it's Albert changed. Timmer. Albert uh-huh. Timmer is a DS there, and I don't know, they must have more, but Albert Timmer was already a DS there. But I think also just their way of racing is different. Now they don't need to go for a sprint every time anymore.
You have to diversify. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the meantime, I see Royster asking the camera how much of a gap she has. Well, it's enough. So she doesn't know yet, but she has more than enough time. She's in the last K here already.
She can post up 500 to go.
Yeah. She could have gone farther down that side street and really seen what was down there.
Yeah, exactly. She had time enough. But I mean, this is also super impressive. She's riding, I think, almost 40K solo. And to see somebody win like this, that's, for me, that's the best way to win a race. That's so cool. And I mean, if somebody deserves it, it's for sure her today. She really, really raced for it. So yeah, it's a very exciting win, I think. She seems to be super relieved to be near the finish now. And I can totally imagine.
I think one listener has said, we'll get to the questions afterwards, but because we're 25 seconds ahead, we're getting the information before they're seeing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we predicted. It's just now a case of actually who's going to take that second place.
I do want to ask you, Ellen, since we're watching the finish right now and we're seeing there are fans on the side of the road, but we've had this discussion previously about the women finishing after the men. And do you have any feelings about that? Because obviously today we got a ton of live coverage, but we didn't get that for Omloop, which we pinned on the fact that the women raced after the men. And so the live coverage was focused on the men for the large portion of the day. But do you like finishing after the men, or do you not really have any feelings on it?
Yeah, I think it's super positive for the sport. To be honest, as a rider, I didn't like it so much, because you're waiting till 2 o'clock before you start or something. But yeah, that's not super important. I think you actually get a lot more viewers when you can watch it after the finish of the men, because a lot of people like to see more of the racing and they will stick. Well, I think if you start the women first, then then they will maybe switch to the men earlier, I think. Shirin is doing an attack now in the last K. But I think it's going to be a sprint with this little group. I don't know exactly who's in this group, but it will be interesting to see who's the fastest in it.
Shari Boussat is there. She's pretty quick. Megan Jasper, she's also pretty quick, right?
Megan is quick, yeah. Ruby Roseman-Gannon
Ruby
is well. Quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a few fast finishers. Christine Mayoris as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Eleanor is a track rider, so she's got a little bit of a kick as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't
this
that
would
be
actually
cool?
Be, if this was the race for first, it would be pretty interesting to watch it coming to the line.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I've just got 1K to go now. That's where I'm up to with my coverage. I'm on the G.
Yeah, Lauren and I are also delayed for those of you watching. Where Ellen is not only quicker on the bike than all of us, she's also quicker at watching the
You found a good stream here. Oh, the other group is just coming back now. The big group is just coming back in the last 400 meters. Yeah.
I was gonna say, they're
Yeah,
looking at
that's
each
what's
other
happening
so
right now.
much that they're gonna get caught from behind.
Well, I mean, in this situation, like if DSM, if you've got two there, would you have one rider just riding as hard as you can for the last 500 meters to make sure that the group doesn't come back?
Yeah, I think so. I see somebody of DSM is taking second now. Who is there? Or is it still Charlotte Cole who was there? I don't know. Number 203. But I don't have a start list here. Yeah, big
Megan.
result again. She's having a good week.
Yeah. Yeah, huge. Oh, that's so exciting for her. Ugh, man, I'm excited to see what she does in the
Yeah,
future.
that's she. She's
Was
just
it
yeah,
Micah
shouting
van
both
der
sides
Doen?
or from the down then,
Another really big result then, actually. So
That was a great. I mean, the fact, well, first of all, SC Works didn't get 1-2, which is a thing that we've seen quite a few times this season. So I'm excited we got to see a fun race for a second. But I'm really, really excited for Marlen Roussin. I feel like I was picking her last year for tons of races because I was like, she's gonna win a world tour one day at one point. And so I was just a year early, I
Oh,
guess.
this is super nice with the hug between Pfeiffer and Megan. They're in that break together on Thursday, and Pfeiffer won, and now Megan's on the podium. She's so stoked. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see when riders are really happy for each other. And you can see there is a great team spirit in DSM. That's really something that's not a show, I think.
Because you can tell as a rider looking at other teams when a team is not working together.
Yeah, and you see that often at the dinner table too. Or the breakfast table, I should say.
Silence at the
Yeah.
dinner table.
You know, the teams that are gelling and having fun and have, a good personal relationship, which I'm assuming, Ellen, that's the case on Trek Segafredo. From the outside, it looks like you clearly gel well off the bike, and that's translating to what's happening on the bike too.
Yeah, of course, that's true. But also sometimes you see teams really trying to get this picture outside, and then sometimes when it's too much, you also realize that, yeah, it's too much and probably it's not true. I mean, to be honest, yeah, to be honest, I mean, as they were, they are the best team and they are super professional and they are racing super great together. But after Strada, Bianchi, I think all the social media stuff about Lotte Kopecky and Damy Vollering being best friends and everything, to me, it's a bit too much.
I was gonna ask you about that. I was gonna say, I don't know if you can give us any inside information on that, but that was a pretty interesting dynamic that we saw. And
Yeah, for sure.
there was debates going on all week about
Yeah, of course.
do they actually get along? Will they in the future, will they like second guess working for each other because of that moment?
Yeah, and I don't have any inside information, so I don't know why they no, actually they're really not. But it's just what I see from the outside. And I think if somebody like this would happen to me, I would not be happy with my teammate. And it's not and women don't forget so easily, So yeah, that's just my opinion. But yeah, for sure they're all professional enough to finish off the race as well. And I don't think we will get to see a lot of problems or other things because of this. But yeah, it was for sure interesting to see.
We're going to see some interesting riding up the Quermont next week, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah, I want to talk about Flanders. Let's talk about Flanders. Let's make predictions. Oh man, Swinkels for third.
that.
That
Who got
was
third, right?
my pick for the win. That's really
Who got
cool.
third?
I picked
Winkles.
Caroline
Ah,
Swinkels.
okay. Oh, that's a big result for her as well.
That's also cool.
I picked her completely randomly because I just thought she was having a good year
Yes, he
this year.
does. Yeah, it's a great result.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me closest of all of the Wheel Talk podcast predictions, I feel.
Look, I'm gonna take a little bit of something from the offline chat, but maybe I need to go with my gut more.
Yeah, you gotta go with your gut, damn. Lauren.
No, it was even though it was a solo from what, 40Ks to go? Yeah, almost.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Flanders, because I want to talk about, I mean, we talked a bit about it already, and that SD Works is going to be hard to beat. But Ellen, as someone who's been in the Peloton, who's raced against SD Works, who's beaten SD Works, how can SD Works get beaten at Flanders next weekend?
On the climbs will be the biggest challenge, and also early breakaways are the best options, I think, because you know they are the strongest when in the depth, you know, they have a lot of strong riders next to each other, so this is something they can always play out, and that you know as other teams, so you need to be ahead of it or just be way stronger on the climbs or make a difference somewhere else. And then you will look soon to somebody like Annemiek van Vleuten, Elisa Longo-Borghini. Kasia Nieuwe-Doma doesn't seem to be that much stronger today. So, yeah, I also don't know how well recovered Elisa is. So, those are all question marks.
I'm curious as well to see how Liana Lippitt is going. She hasn't crashed out or something recently. She's just been training, right?
Yes, she was on altitude camp together with Annemiek van Vleuten and Floortje Mackay. So the three of them are for 3 weeks also on the Tide. So it will be interesting to see how their shape is coming off the altitude camp.
Yep.
They could be a good block as well.
Yeah, and I wonder, I guess they'll line up for Dwarsdorf-Flandern maybe on Wednesday to have a bit of a hit out before the big one on Sunday.
Yeah, that could be. That's always a nice race to see how the shape is and if you're ready or not.
Yeah. It's a good thing and it can be a bad thing, because if you don't have a good day, then you're like, hmm. Although, yeah. I mean, already by Gent-Wevelgem, you have a pretty clear idea of where your form is at and who to be looking at. It's a different race to Flanders, but still a sort of good indicator of who's in shape.
Like yeah, really in one week time, the shape won't change so much. And you see that Lorena Wiebes, Lotte Kopecky, they are in great shape. Marlen Reuze, obviously. And then it will be interesting to see how not all the riders were here who will be good in Flanders. So that's something you don't know yet compared to how they are compared to these riders.
I'm really excited to see how Voss comes back. I mean, I know like she just only recently had the surgery, but she wasn't looking too bad in Bindo.
No, she's
weekend.
Good. What actually happened on the last lap in mechanical?
I heard she had cramps, but I am not sure. I don't know her story. So,
I don't think it was a mechanical. I think she just cracked a bit had some.
Yeah. And I think she trained really well. She could still train long before the surgery or the whatever helped her. And after also, she trained really hard on the Tide again. But yeah, for sure, it's also a question mark, and it will be interesting to see if she can reach her usual level already. But even then, to be honest, a race like Flanders is still, still on the limit for Marianne.
No, I don't think she'll be there.
Yeah, but I'm such a big fan.
I know. I just can't see her being there at the very, very end.
It would be really nice because I also really like her, and especially when she has had a tough time like this. But I don't expect too much yet.
I think there's so many question marks going into Flanders with every single team other than SD Works. I mean, there was also a ton of crashes today. We don't know how Brody's going to be after the crash today. Hopefully she's okay, because I think she'd be an integral part of Flanders. She had such a great Flanders last year.
Yeah, so I saw one rider off track lying really bad on the ground, and you think it's Brody?
That was Brody.
That was Brody. Yeah, I saw her her national champ gloves. And Lucinda was in that crash as well, but she popped up really quick. So hopefully Trek is able to still they will have a strong team, but hopefully Brody can be there.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be, I mean, we're going into kind of the biggest races of the classics with a lot of question marks about a lot of teams.
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's fun, right? It's good to know. It's not good to know when you not good when you know everything already before.
No, but I do wish all the teams would gang up on SC Works a little bit more.
Yeah, that would be nice. I agree.
Just everyone together. Yeah. Like, if we just had the whole Peloton gang up on SD.
Yeah, but I think they need to work all together against SD Works because, yeah, they are such a strong block that you need to work together to beat them.
How many years have we been saying this? I even remember when it was Bowls Dolmans having team meetings, and it was like, how are we going to beat them? We need to, like, rally.
Yeah, they're at the top for a long, long time already, and there are for sure teams who can challenge them. But yeah, it also, like I said, for some reason they're always good at these classics, and sometimes other classics a little less, like the Ardennes. Well, they also won a couple of them, I think. But yeah, you also see some teams have qualities in specific races.
We've been recording for a while now, and I want to get to a couple of these questions before we kind of wrap it up. Tom asked, Ellen, in the middle of a non-technical TT, what goes through your head? Is it a distance countdown, song lyrics, random, oh, that's a bird, look at that tree thoughts, or something else?
Good question. It's been a while now, but mostly I just try to think about my breath, my position, really focus on the task I have at hand, and don't try to think too much about how it's going or if I feel great or not, or other things, and really do not get distracted by the birds on the road. That's something really bad. Focus on the lines, on this kind of stuff, and really stick to the task, and don't get my mind distracted by stuff that's not helpful.
Do you focus on like keeping your upper body still? Because I feel like that's something, you know, from watching time trials, it's easy to tell when somebody's on a good day because their upper body is so still. They're so fluid with their movements. I mean, I remember watching the TT in Richmond when Linda Williamson won, and watching how flawless she looked on a bike. And it was, you knew she was going to win before the race was even halfway through because she just looked so clean on the bike.
Yeah, and I think that's what, like you say, that's the difference between somebody who's in shape and who's going great and somebody who's not feeling good, because it's not something you actually consciously focus on. I think it's something that's happening when you are riding well. So you can try to focus on it, but if you have to focus on it, then usually you're already not on the best day.
All right, someone else asked, socks over or under your leg warmers?
Over, and my socks over, for sure, always.
Wow.
We have discussions like this in the team with the men a lot, which I like a lot. Lizzie and me are socks over, and the men are socks under. But yeah, they just don't know what fashion is, so.
Hot take. That's a hot take. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by that. I also am a socks over person, so it's nice to hear. But my husband is a socks under, and he thinks that I'm insane.
I told you the Trek Afraid of Man are socks under. Yeah, so. But stick to your point. Stick to your point. That's the most important.
How often has Ellen worn her world champs jersey? I mean, for a full year, and then...
Yeah, for a full year, and I trained a lot in it. I really like to train on my TT bike as well. But these days, I don't ride my TT bike really anymore because it's getting already less comfortable. And also, there's not really a TT call coming up soon. So, by now, almost not anymore. But in January, December, I still wore it quite a lot. But unfortunately... this year, there's not a lot of times I will wear it anymore.
How has training been going?
Yeah, training actually is going pretty well. I just need to be a bit flexible with knowing that I cannot always do what I have in my head. But so far, I can still train quite well and keep going. So I'm really happy with that. And I really hope I can keep training until the last moment, actually.
Favorite music to listen to on the trainer? And then if anyone has we'll do one more minute with the chat open. So if anyone has questions, throw them in there. I think we've probably got all of them, but favorite music to listen to on the trainer?
My favorite music. Today, actually, I thought I was going to ride the trainer because it was raining so bad. But then in the end, I postponed it so much that it was dry outside. So honestly, I really hate to ride the trainer. But then I have to, right now I was listening to some Dutch music, which is Suzanne en Freek, but you probably don't know it. You know it. Yeah,
I'm a bit into the Dutch music these days. Yeah.
All right, favorite cyclocross rider?
Lucinda,
it's my first thought. Yeah, and Shirin also, of course. Yeah, my teammates. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe slightly biased, but they are pretty good.
Yeah, they are too. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up. It's been so amazing to have you on. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Yeah, this has been amazing. If you ever want to come back, we would love to have you back.
Yeah, it was fun with you too. Thank you.
And if you're in Belgium again, Ellen, it would be really cool to see you.
Yeah,
I'm catching up with Ina, I think, tomorrow. So.
Ah, cool. I'll stay home for a little bit now, but I will probably go around anytime. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, girls, and see you later.
No, thank you.
All right.
All right. That was awesome. I want to thank everybody who listened in. That was so much fun. It was so great to have Ellen on. If we do another live recording,
give us your feedback. What you liked, what you thought could improve. Maybe we need to be on the same stream.
Yeah, I think that's no spoilers and being able to, if somebody's stream is ahead, then I think that's something we can't control. But we definitely will hopefully be back for more because it's fun for us as well. Lauren and I had such a fun time last year during the Tour de France Femme. Avec Zwift, and we will hopefully be able to pull in a couple other pros. Maybe we'll just go with the pregnant women who are setting up the season. We'll have Joss Loudon on the next episode. Okay, well, I'll Luca, you can end any time. Or I think maybe I can end it. No, I can't. It has to be Luca, I'm pretty sure.
You don't have the power.
I don't have the power.